Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line as we launch here into the second hour of the program. Tonight it is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We will continue to take your phone calls about absolutely anything. Start things out by going overseas to Frederick in Europe. You're on Free Talk Live, Frederick.
Hello, thank you.
Hey, Frederick.
I'd like to talk about international free status.
Yes, Free State Project
how many
is...
international free staters have moved to New Hampshire now?
I have no idea. I don't think I've met one personally.
I've met a French man who moved here. He's a member of the Free State Project. He moved here, but he had to go back for some kind of visa reasons, so he's not currently in New Hampshire, but he moved and he intends to come back.
Let's explain briefly for our new listeners what a Free State Project is. Frederick, how would you explain it?
liberty-loving people moving to New Hampshire.
Man, getting active. That's important.
Exactly. Regarding visa thingy, that's actually my second question. What do you think is safest or best course of action to move to New Hampshire if you're not an American?
What is the safest course of action to move to New Hampshire if you're not an American?
How would if someone like me, a Swede, were to move to New Hampshire. I don't want to get any problems with visas or getting thrown out of the country or anything like that.
Right. I have no idea what the immigration bureaucracy is like. I know it's not easy.
I've read a lot on the net and also on the Free Staters website, but I can't really find anything...
You're asking how to do it legally?
I don't really care about the legality. I mean, just the safest route. If it's possible to move there and just... I mean, if I could, let's say that I decided to move to New Hampshire. If it's possible, I'd rather much not have an American passport and just move. But I don't think... Don't you think we would get... Don't think a person that does that would get thrown out of the U.S.?
I don't know. It would depend on if you came to their attention or not. I mean, if you moved here, and I don't know a lot about what the ins and outs are of being able to fly under the radar, but obviously there are a number of people that do fly under the radar. I used to know somebody when I lived down in Florida, I used to know somebody who had moved from Ireland and had completely overstayed his visa or whatever. I think he'd gotten a visa and then overstayed it, and, you know, they just, once you disappear off their radar, they've no real way of picking you up. I mean, if you're working sort of an underground profession, I don't know what that would be.
That's the thing. My work is totally on the net. I mean, I can literally be anywhere. I don't have to. I was in another city just a week ago.
How would you handle like
a week? And I worked there with my laptop. So,
Frederick, how would you handle like banking? How would you deal with that?
No problem. I mean, if you have enough money, you can get the bank account literally anywhere. So,
I suppose that's true. I don't know what I know that they've cracked down after the Patriot Act on getting more information from people that want to open bank accounts around here. Of course, you could always have some sort of go-between. I'm sure there are more than a few free staters who'd be willing to be kind of like an interface, if you will, for a legitimate bank account. I don't know. You'd have to find someone who's trustworthy, obviously, in order to do that. But I imagine there are a number of people who'd be willing to step up and help out. If you could figure out a way to have your own bank account without necessarily leading to who you are and where you are and to where the authorities could
have internet banks.
Yeah, they do have internet banks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can't be that hard to get an international visa or something and then just use cash as much as possible.
What I would love to have happen is for somebody to actually go through with this and then report on their success whatever ends up happening. But, you know, as long as you aren't popping up on the system's radar, whether it be through having a job where you need to have some sort of paperwork.
That's the second problem. I mean, if someone were to do this, and then start doing civil disobedience, like what are they going to do if you come there and you talk I don't mean to say that I talk flawless English, but I mean it can't be that hard to learn the dialect and so on. But
you'll probably sound like a foreigner.
Moved to New Hampshire and started doing civil disobedience and just claimed to be a paperless American. What are they going to do?
If they can't identify you, then who knows what they'll do? I mean, they can do anything, of course. They're the government, so if they decide that you sound foreign, and so therefore you must be foreign, and they're going to treat you that way, they could put you in some sort of ICE prison, you know, immigration and customs
enforcement.
Yeah,
it's not like I look like a Mexican or anything.
That's true. So that wouldn't necessarily set any red flags off.
No.
So you'd have to keep in mind that anything could happen, that you are, of course, taking a pretty serious risk. But in that, but if you were to be doing civil disobedience and you were to take, for instance, Sam's approach and not identify yourself when they were to arrest you for something like that, then they would eventually, likely, like they did with Sam, let you out because they wouldn't be able
to. Not with
that accent? Okay, maybe you're right. I don't know, Mark. Like I said, maybe anything could happen.
I don't know.
It's hard to predict. They can
sounds
do anything
dangerous
they
to me.
Want. Yeah, they can do anything they want to you at any time. So, you know, involving yourself in civil disobedience
of course,
is a.
They're just thugs in costumes.
Right, and you're going to paint a target on your back if you're doing civil disobedience. I don't know if that's the right role for somebody who
some kind of support role sounds like it to me.
I don't know if it's the right role for somebody who's underground. But then on the other hand, they may revoke whatever paperwork you have if you went the legitimate route and then did civil disobedience.
I see that problem too.
Right, so you know, if you've got a real desire to do civil disobedience, then what's the worst that would happen? They'd kick you out of the country and you'd be thrown back to your country of origin? I mean, what is the worst that would happen? Like sitting in a prison cell for a few months?
A few months, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would really suck to get thrown out of New Hampshire if you started a new life there. And
it would.
Yeah.
I mean, all that.
Yeah, this road is not easy. I mean, whether it's certainly not an easy road for people that are from other countries and even for regular activists from here in America, it's not easy, especially if you're planning on civil disobedience.
Yeah,
if you're planning on civil disobedience,
you can't get thrown out of America.
What, I'm sorry, what was that?
At least you can't get thrown out.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You can't. I don't think so.
Who knows? I wouldn't put it past them eventually to come around to that. But either way, it's a tough decision you're looking at any way you slice it.
I mean, I'm not alone. Maybe you met the other Frederick that visited the Porkfest.
Yep, sure did. Nice guy.
Yeah, that's a friend from Gothenburg here in Sweden.
Hey, the more the merrier. Whatever it takes to get over here, whatever you end up choosing, you know, share it with us. Share your story. Share it anonymously. You don't have to use your real name or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that if somebody actually goes through with it and has success, then that'll encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah.
Will they all have success? I don't know. I mean, maybe some of them will get popped off and they'd be forced out of the country. You have to expect the worst when it comes to these guys. I mean, these are the government. They're a gang. They're violent. They're willing to hurt people, and they have no compunctions against it. So you've got to, just like anybody that's going to participate in civil disobedience, you've got to expect that these people could put you in a jail cell for an indefinite period of time.
Yeah, but at least... I mean, the situation regarding freedom. Every time I listen to a program, it sounds as if at least you have. The situation here in Sweden isn't exactly the same as it is in New Hampshire.
Sure.
Every time you listen to the radio or turn on the TV, you hear this news speak about equality and. A lot of political gibberish.
Well, you're right. I mean, things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse where you are, and things are going to get worse here. So it makes sense to get together with other like-minded people.
Yeah.
Obviously, the risk is even higher where you are. But either way, the risk of doing nothing is a pretty risky thing as well, because the state will continue to enlarge and expand. And if what you want to do is fly under the radar, then there are relatively safe ways to do that. But if you're ready to be an activist, it's always going to be risky. And I thank you for the call tonight. Good luck with your decision. Free Talk Live.
Men, when it comes to male enhancement, we know you want to feel bigger, firmer, more in control. That's why you need Maxoderm. Maxoderm is instant male enhancement. It's topically applied, and it's for any man who wants to feel bigger, firmer, faster. That's right. With Maxoderm, there's no waiting hours, weeks, or even months to feel its effects. Customers report they literally start feeling it in 59 seconds or less. Bet you won't feel that with a pill. So guys, if you want to feel bigger, firmer, faster than ever before, go with the one product you can count on. Maxoderm, with over 50 million applications sold to men just like you. Isn't it time you used Maxoderm too? Call right now to find out how to get your free supply of Maxoderm today. We'll rush it to you in an unmarked package. There's no waiting with Maxoderm. So what are you waiting for?
Call 800-781-9213 and get your free supply of Maxoderm now. Call 800-781-9213. 800-781-9213. That's 800-781-9213.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features. We give them all away, including live streams, broadband version, dial-up version, even a webcam of the show, all free for you at listen.freetalklive.com. That's listen.freetalklive.com.
Today, businesses, banks, healthcare providers, landlords, utilities, and educational institutions are plagued by a burgeoning rate of consumers who fail to pay their bills. You may believe that this debt is only affects those industries and businesses. However, when people don't pay their bills, all customers pay the penalties, which are manifest through increased prices everywhere. So if you have or know any businesses that require assistance with collections, tell them to call SACL CAI for a no-cost, no-obligation proposal. SACL CAI, repositioning companies to zero in on principal operations and regain their financial foundation. See their banner at freetalklive.com.
All right, let's continue taking your phone calls about whatever's on your mind. We'll go to Stephen in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live. Stephen.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah. What's on your mind?
Hey, great. Well, I hope I can get this out. I should have taken notes because it's been a long time. But a while back, like a long time, maybe a year or 2 years ago, Mark was debating with somebody on the show and said that taxation was a form of slavery, and disagreed. And Mark said, "Okay, if you're working and I'm taking 100% of your the fruits of your labor, what are you?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm a slave." And Mark said, "Okay, if I'm taking half of the fruits of your labor, what are you?" Well, he's half enslaved, I guess. So he's a slave somewhat. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. So I was engaged in a debate on an internet forum, trying to spread the message of liberty through debating, which is how I finally ended up getting it, by the way. And I thought I'd bring this up and, you know, use Mark's argument. And the guy I was talking with said, don't you believe in some small modicum of government? You know, don't you believe the government needs to be there for, you know, the military and police and justice system, things like that? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, so in other words, you think that some small amount of slavery is okay?
He busted you.
Yeah. And what could I say to that? And so I kind of went into hibernation for a long time. And when I came out of it, I was a, whatever you want to say it, voluntarist. The terminology doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Anarchist, voluntarist, whatever. So I just would like to point out the irony of Mark actually being the one, as opposed to Ian, it was actually Mark who turned me on to voluntarism or anarchism.
Gee, I'm glad I could help. Now, I'd like to point out the minarchist stand here. The minarchist stand on this is that minarchy affords the most freedom, whereas voluntarism...
Because slavery is
not.
Freedom, right, Mark?
What's that?
Slavery is freedom. Is that what you're trying to say?
The smallest amount of slavery would result in the most amount of freedom, Ian.
Like 0%. Slavery, that would be nice.
If
you're enslaved 1%, you're still a slave 100%.
If you can show me that that's the case, I'd be all for that. However, there's not much empirical data for that.
There's not much empirical data for what?
For voluntarism providing the most liberty.
Yeah, in the absence of coercion, then you have liberty.
Right.
So
in the absence of coercion, you have heaven.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that there would be a complete absence of coercion, but there would be an absence of institutionalized coercion, which would, as far as I'm concerned, be liberty, because then you'd just be dealing with the occasional criminal aggressor.
What you believe, however, what you believe is based on as much fact as you've been able to come up with, but humans have a tendency to collect the facts that they like and dismiss the facts that they don't.
Mm.
And I want to see a voluntarist society work before I'm going to be a voluntarist. I'll sit here and I'll tell you that I'm for liberty. I am. I'm for the most liberty we can have. And if that's small government, then I'm for small government. If that's complete, you know, dissolution of aggressive forms of institutions, mm-hmm. I'm for that too. Whatever.
Okay.
Show me.
Can I take it in a slightly different direction, because you talked about coercion and institutional coercion. Now, I just came back from the Middle East. I was in Kuwait, and Kuwaiti Muslims are, from what I saw, they're pretty liberal, but I did meet a lot of Egyptian Muslims, and even if the entire Egyptian government just totally evaporated and collapsed, there would still be, I believe, maybe I'm using words wrong, but I believe there would still be institutionalized coercion in the form of their religion and their extremely conservative view of Islam. For example, there will never ever be a case where I will take my wife and go to my Egyptian friend's house in Egypt, and me and my wife will hang around with him and his wife, you know, drink wine or watch TV or whatever. This will never happen. If I go to visit his house, his wife goes into the back room, and she stays in the back room until I leave. And she's not even allowed to know who was there. She's not even allowed to know that I was there. Would this be considered institutionalized coercion, do you think? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know if I have an answer for that.
I've been thinking about this quite a lot ever since I came back, so...
Either of you have any answer
well,
for that?
Well, the problem here is that you have these geopolitical groups called countries that are preventing her from necessarily leaving this landmass where they have this more conservative form of Islam. If she could just pack up and say, "See ya, honey, I'm going to America where it's free,"
mm-hmm.
or so, you know, so they say.
Mm-hmm.
Then
I'm sorry. I was just going to say a lot of them don't want to. In fact, when the U.S. troops were in Saudi Arabia, it was the women, the Muslim women, the Saudi women who got outraged that the American women were driving around smoking cigarettes and wearing T-shirts and stuff like that. It was the women also.
I don't know. I don't know if brainwashing from a religion is quite the same as the institutionalization of violence that we see with the government. Obviously, government involves itself in brainwashing as well. That's why it runs the schools in this country. Mm-hmm. So government has an interest in teaching people that government is good, but... And in those countries, in a lot of cases, you're dealing with governments that are also of that same religion, and so the government rules are going to back up whatever the religious rules are, and so you've got kind of that crossover there, where because the government might be involved in enforcing religious rules, then yes, it would be institutionalized coercion, but should that same religion exist here in America, I mean, which is a country where there is a freedom of religion, ostensibly. Should that same religion be practiced here, where the woman stays in the back of the house and all of that, and the burqas or whoever, whatever it is that the rules are, the very kind of anti-woman religion, she would have the ability to get up and walk out, and there would be no way to force her to stay there. The only thing that would be keeping her there would be her own mind and mm-hmm. the misinformation and the brainwashing that she's received from years of indoctrination. Is that institutionalized coercion? I don't think it's coercion because it's not aggression, it's just scummy and low.
It's aggression if her husband will raise a strap to her for not going in the back of the house when she's supposed to. That's still aggression.
That's aggression, sure, but it's not institutionalized coercion like he was asking.
Yeah. Right, it seems like there's some choice in the matter, whether or not she sees it that way, or whether or not she would be willing to step out of that, or even want to, like maybe, I don't know, they're content in their weird religious views, but it's not, and there really is a choice there.
But the choice would exist here in America, not so much necessarily in Saudi
right.
Arabia.
Well, it's
yeah,
different.
If she was to put on a miniskirt and go off to the mall, you know, she would, the men in black, whatever they are, outfits would come along and sew in her van and take her away.
So I would say yes, as long as you have a government with an established religion that they're enforcing, yes, it would be institutionalized coercion. Same situation here would just be brainwashing and a bizarro religion. I thank you for the call
right.
tonight, Stephen. Hope that helped. More on the way. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchews.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com. When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the Sickles CAI toll free line. Tonight it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
And Mark. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We got a lot of features. We give them all away, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. The features include the wiki, over 1,800 pages created by listeners like you. Just go to wiki.freetalklive.com, get interactive. You can edit virtually anything that you see there. It's wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com.
RepublicMagazine.tv. Are you missing the real news? Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine. Get your free digital copy now or order a print subscription at republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv or call 800-873-1620. 800-873-1620, republicmagazine.tv.
We continue taking your calls about anything. We'll go to Matt in Illinois on the Amp Line. Hello, Matt.
Good evening, Mark, Ian, and Julia.
Hello.
Hey. What's on your mind, Matt?
I wanted to talk about, I was listening to your podcast, and I wanted to talk about this gentleman named Fred who said he would die for his principles, and that he felt that you should go all the way to the wall and die for your principles, too.
Yeah, this is a former law enforcement, former detective here in the Keene area, former city councilor as well, now currently collecting a pension from being a law enforcement officer while still working a full-time bureaucrat job for the housing authority. So he's making a real bank off of the government world.
Yeah, must be nice. I was wondering, I was curious as to whether or not you ever asked him exactly what those principles were that he was willing to die for.
No, I can't say. Mark was the one that he approached. He sent an email to Mark, and I can't say I have.
Well, I would assume that he was, as a police officer, he's talking about protecting and serving, so he was he would be willing to take a bullet to protect you.
To protect and serve. Okay, I was just wondering if maybe he felt that he was actually, you know, would have been dying for freedom and for liberty.
No, it doesn't seem like that would be the case. As a police officer, you're not really guarding the line against freedom necessarily. But, you know, Mark, you made an interesting point during the break on this. That was that Fred probably wouldn't have been able to be willing to die if he hadn't been getting a paycheck.
Well, yeah, like one can say that that they'll give their life, and I hope that cops are willing to do that if they're taking that paycheck, because mm-hmm. basically that's what the public thinks that they're paying them for, to protect them against the baddies.
As mistaken as they might be.
And, you know, cops can't be everywhere. And
nor are they obligated to be anywhere and do anything.
No. So, but, you know, would they be willing? You hear a lot of comic books about superheroes doing the same thing. However, you don't see a lot of people acting like superheroes out there and going out and protecting the public good for no money at all, because they're busy working. Mm-hmm. So if you really wanted to give your life for doing these things, you really could by not taking a paycheck, couldn't you?
Seems like it. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's a good way to put it. But the point I was going to make is I think a lot of times these people are misinformed as to what they're actually doing. They believe that they're doing one thing when they're doing another, which was why I wanted to know if specifically he would have felt that he was protecting the Constitution or protecting the freedom and liberty and the rights of the people, which is what they're supposed to take an oath to do.
A lot of cops do swear an oath to the Constitution, but when you ask them questions about it, they couldn't answer you word one about what the Constitution actually says.
And that was going to be exactly my point, is that they don't understand what they're fighting for or what they're willing to die for or what the principles that they're putting their life on the line for.
Right, they're willing to die to do whatever it is they're told to do by their superiors, basically.
Exactly, and I know that some of them, a very few of them, might, but most of them I don't think would have.
Well, here's what I'd invite you to do, if you want, Matt. Fred Parcells is who we're talking about. He's one of the local politicos here in the Keene area, and I know he hates it when I call him that. But you know, I like Fred. I've got a nice rapport with him I built up over the years. And, Mark, you probably get along with him even better than I do. And he has a real love for Julia as well. But
I like Fred. Nice guy.
Yes, nice guy. But he's just a little misguided. He does say he likes the idea of smaller government. He is apparently on our side when it comes to ending the war on drugs. So he's definitely there on a lot of issues. But if you want to hold his feet to the fire, Matt, what you could do is you could tune in to the Liberty Radio Network on Saturday mornings from 9 to noon, and eventually you'll hear him co-hosting the Talkback Show, which is a local show here in the Keene area that we rebroadcast over at LibertyRadioNetwork.com. He only hosts like once a month, and I think it's usually the third or the fourth Saturday in each month. But that would be a way for you to really hold his feet to the flames and get him to answer. Maybe try to get him to answer a question. He's pretty good at beating around the bush and not actually addressing what it is you bring up, though. So he's a pro, and he'll do a good job of avoiding what you're getting at.
Right, so he's not only a former police officer, but he'd make a really good politician, is what you're saying.
He was a politician, although he wouldn't accept that label for himself. He was a city councilor.
He would have been a politician.
So, he chose to step down for a principled reason. He believes in term limits strongly. I'm not a term limit fan. I was at one point, but you know, I think we should keep the good politicians when we can get them, like Ron Paul, you know, people like that. He's been in 10 years. I'd hate to see him replaced by somebody who's less principled.
Any other thoughts, Matt?
Personally, I'd like to see a voluntary type of government where, rather than coercively making us pay for government with taxes, it was a voluntary thing. If you want the government, you can give them money.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a sensible thing to do. I think it'd be an easy transition to make. And if indeed the government people are really providing a valuable service, then they should have no problem whatsoever being funded voluntarily.
That's how I feel.
All right, Matt.
Exactly how I feel.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Alex in New Jersey, also on an amp line. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
So I just got out of a training seminar for the knives that I'm about to sell. And
oh, yes.
I feel better about it now than I did when I called you before.
Because they begun to brainwash you, Alex. Go ahead.
All right, now here's the thing. What I like about it is that it's flexible. I set up the appointments with... Mm-hmm. On my schedule, I can do as many or as few as I want. There's really no pressure. There are no minimums that you have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a concern raised the other night about how you get your first appointments, and what they do is they pay you to practice with anyone that you know. and you don't even have to sell anything. All you do is you go there and you say, hi, I'd like to practice with you. I'd like to, but you don't have to buy anything. And then they just sit down and they hear your pitch, and then you ask for comments on how you can make the pitch better, and they pay you to do that.
So you're asking the client
from those people, and then you start.
You're asking the client how to make your pitch better. They're not going to actually give you any training. They're not going to send you along with like an expert salesman or anything like that to where you can learn from somebody who's actually had some experience.
No, they have a whole packet of notes, and which has all the information that you'll ever need inside of it that you bring with you.
You know, it's going to be a valuable learning experience from a sales standpoint.
I think it sounds like it's a better, as far as a first sales kind of job is concerned, when I was your age, Alex, I was brought into a network marketing company. I spent thousands of dollars on product and, crashed and burned after a year or so. But I think you're in a place where this particular company, it sounds like it's a little better because there's no minimum, like you say, there's no minimum that you have to do. And that's one of the things that happens with a lot of network marketing companies is there's a minimum sales volume that you have to sell every single month in order to even retain your distributorship or to certainly at the very least to get paid at the end of the month. You have to do X amount of volume. But here you are, you're saying that, that you can just sell nothing if you want to, and there's no penalty for that, which I think is a good point to start
right.
from. It doesn't put the pressure on.
What I brought up was that let's say that I'm in college and I'm an incoming freshman, and let's say that I have a tough week, couple weeks with projects and papers that I need to write. I can just not schedule appointments, and then I can come back in 3 or 4 weeks and start scheduling them again. That's the way it works. And I think that's pretty nice.
Take under advisement what the other people have said on the internet about kind of the shifty way that they've in some cases have experienced the paychecks coming out. You have take real care to keep track of what you've done as far as sales and what you're expecting and compare it against the checks and all that. And good luck and let us know how it works. Thanks, Alex. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Get on the ground, mother! You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going to Child Protective Services. You're busted for possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana. Possession of marijuana.
Hi, I'm Barry Cooper, ex-narcotics officer trained by the DEA. My DVD, Never Get Busted, has recently received world attention. I've switched sides, and I'm now touring America with the message to end this war on people that has been labeled the war on drugs.
Go to Barry's website, NeverGetBusted.com, and order your DVD to Never Get Busted.
On it, I'll teach you secret drug enforcement tactics and how to avoid narcotics profiling, how to conceal your stash, and I'll teach you how to fool drug dogs every time. I'll teach you how police know when you're lying. You'll get to go on patrol with me and watch actual marijuana arrest on the highway and learn the mistakes citizens made that landed them in jail.
Go to NeverGetBusted.com and arm yourself with the information you need so you'll never have to hear these words.
Get on the ground, mother! You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going
Log
to jail.
Log on to NeverGetBusted.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-672-7464. 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. If you take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free to 1-800-259-9231, you can bring up absolutely anything. And tonight it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. You want to help support Free Talk Live, shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Just enter Amazon through that link. And Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. It is that simple. You can even buy used items if you need to save a few extra bucks, as though, of course, Amazon already has very, very low prices on their brand new items. I think you'll find them very competitive. Plus, you get free Super Saver shipping on a whole lot of their new items. Just get your shopping done over at amazon.freetalklive.com and feel good because you're getting the products you want. Great prices, free Super Saver shipping, and you're helping Free Talk Live as well. Amazon.freetalklive.com. I'm going to go back to the email that we started in the first hour of the program. It's from Richard as he is enumerating his reasons why he opposes the idea of owning your own body. He starts out by saying he opposes doctor-assisted suicide and then goes off on a couple points about why he thinks selling one's organs should remain a prohibition, that it should not be allowed, and that if you can't sell your own organs, then of course that means you don't actually own yourself. And so that's essentially what he's arguing for, is that you should not be able to own yourself because he believes there could be dire consequences to the marketplace, which is very bizarre. And, of course, as we pointed out, if people could sell their own organs, then organs would be pretty much widely available. And so they really shouldn't be that costly anyway. And he brings up points about, well, what would stop people from killing homeless people and selling their organs? Well, the market would put likely procedures into place to ensure that they had a paper trail that would show them where this organ was coming from, rather than just somebody coming in, opening up a chest freezer and saying, hey, got some organs here.
It's really a good question, you know. You walk in with a heart, fresh, like, where'd you get that? Don't worry about it. I'd like to sell it.
Yeah. So,
okay, no questions asked.
We go on with his points here as to why he opposes doctor-assisted suicide. Number three, he says it would compromise the integrity of the medical system. Everyone knows that pharmaceutical companies push certain medicines on doctors. While recent legislation has cracked down on perks pharmaceutical companies can offer doctors, if the Free Talk Live radio show had their way, there would be no legislation on this practice.
Well, that's true, but there also wouldn't be the huge cost of entry into the pharmaceutical market, so that those pharmaceutical companies would have a great deal of competition, and you wouldn't have two or three oligarchy type pharmaceutical companies in place.
Great point.
And these are the regulations that keep people out of the pharmaceutical industry and keep people from being able to compete against these folks.
What would happen would be, he says, what would happen would be doctors sworn to try and save individuals' lives would be pushing suicide medicine on the patients. Why? Is the idea so they could kill the patient, harvest the organs, and then sell them?
Well,
That's paranoid, yeah, man.
That really doesn't make much sense to me.
Right. I mean, the idea that you just go into the doctor's office and the doctor says, well, you know, I don't think you're going to make it here. Just take this medicine and we'll just bump you off. I mean, as though somebody's just going to make the decision to kill themselves right there in the doctor's office and that they wouldn't tell anybody what the doctor was suggesting to them and they wouldn't go out and spread the word about what was happening.
And as though they'd have to...
if I was considering doctor-assisted suicide, I'm not sure I'd want to see a doctor that was encouraging me to kill myself.
And also, I think that the family of somebody who, you know, went to the doctor and just suddenly ended up dead, and the doctor says, well, they asked for suicide. Yeah. Like, they might have some questions, and then maybe that doctor would be put on trial for murder.
Investigation.
And there'd be punished for that murder. You know, like maybe there'd be some incentives in the opposite direction.
Further, he says, it should not be as easy to kill yourself as walking into a doctor's office and telling him about wanting to kill yourself. He writes you a prescription, and that's it.
Hold on just a second. Is this the last point?
No.
It's not?
We've got two more paragraphs.
Okay, I just wanted to find out. Usually you can find out the gist of somebody's argument by listening to their last point. The last point often, to me, this is just an observation I've made, is often the one that they care about. I don't think it should be that easy to kill yourself, but what if you need it? What if, you see, the people that want to commit suicide the most, the ones with terminal illnesses, they have a difficult time getting, you know, doing the things to kill themselves that people that are just suicidal might do. Mm-hmm. They can't climb a tall building or go to the top of a bridge or, pull the trigger on a gun because they don't want to make a big mess.
Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of reasons why you wouldn't want to do this.
And I can tell you that when I went in at age 23 to go and get my vasectomy, it was a little unusual, right? Because most people that age are not going to get vasectomies. And one of the things they try to do, and I think they do this for everybody that goes in for a vasectomy, is they try to talk you out of it. They try to say, look, are you sure you really want to do this? Is this something you're absolutely certain about? And, you know, they're not going to do it that first visit. That you don't just get to walk right in and have them snip open your scrotum and then do the vasectomy. There's a period of waiting where you've got to get your appointment scheduled and all that. But there's a pre-assessment period where they bring you in to make sure you're not crazy or whatever and that they should go through with this procedure. I imagine that any doctor worth their salt is going to try to assure themselves that this patient is indeed not mentally disturbed, and this patient, you know, has a good reason to want to kill themselves, and that as a doctor, they probably aren't going to be just likely to willy-nilly kill off anybody that wants to. Maybe there will be a doctor that'll do something like that. I don't know.
There may be. I don't know. I mean,
he's not going to have a very good reputation before long.
How many suicides are we really stopping with all the anti-suicide apparatus that we have in this country? I don't know. There are a lot of people attempting suicide that simply want attention.
Says depression is a mental illness. If you would allow a doctor to prescribe a medicine to a depressed person to kill themselves because it's their right to kill themselves. Maybe they're depressed about their wife leaving them. Why shouldn't they just be able to go to a doctor and ask him to write them a prescription for death? What's wrong with that? Well, I really don't have a problem with that. If they are going to be choosing to put a shotgun in their mouth versus going to the doctor to where they can have a kind of a dignified death that doesn't create a mess like you're talking about, Mark, and the doctor is willing to go through with this procedure, let's say they do have some sort of procedure they'll go through where they won't do it immediately, they do make him think about it for a week or something like that, and he comes back and he still says, yeah, this life sucks, I'm done, I'm out of here. What's the big deal there? What is the obsession with forcing people to live? That's my question. And he's saying he's not religious. He says he's not opposing this on a religious basis, but if that's not it, then what is the obsession with forcing people to stay in their lives if they're unhappy?
There's actually, I noticed that there tends to be sort of an obsession with a lot of people to prevent everyone from dying ever.
Yeah.
Like with this safe playground stuff and like,
sure.
I mean, it really just, like, everywhere you look, people are constantly trying to make things like there's laws being passed on a regular basis where they're trying to make things as safe as frickin' possible for everyone, when really you're the only one who's responsible for your own safety in life.
I don't have a problem with safety.
I don't either.
For safety,
it's gone overboard.
But there's a lot of times that they'll you know, raise the cost of things with cars, for instance. I believe that there's you know, apparati that they now are mandated by legislation to put on car windows because they killed 3 kids in a decade's time.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of hard to kill yourself with a car window. You have to be a pretty small child, and it has to be some really strange circumstances. And you can imagine how many kids managed to make it through the whole automobile experience without getting themselves killed on the automatic window.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these apparati cost a lot of money. Some people should be able to decide whether or not they want those on their cars, but to and make it so that everybody has to have that safety equipment raises the bar. Also, when you're talking about fun, kids don't have merry-go-rounds anymore.
Because oh, I saw one at Rogers Campground.
Yeah, at Rogers Campground there was swings and a merry-go-round.
I'm saying that they have to be old equipment for there to be one.
On government parks, they probably don't exist at all.
Right. They don't have the really tall swing sets so kids can really get going and then jump out of them.
Do backflips and stuff. That stuff's fun.
So it's at the cost of what, you know, the purpose of the equipment. I'm not against safety. I'm just against limiting people's ability to do what they want.
Smoking and drug use and alcohol use as well, but smoking's the perfect example of this. Like, you think that people who smoke cigarettes don't know about the risks by now?
Yeah.
They know.
Sure
they don't
do.
Care. They're making a decision. It's obviously worth it to them.
But the do-gooders, for lack of a better term, are...
They feel like it's their moral duty to prevent every single person on this planet from ever dying.
Or damaging themselves in some way. And it's an obsession that I just don't understand. If it's not religiously based, where does it come from? Because I understand the religious people would say that killing yourself is against God.
Right.
It's not supposed to. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus will be.
And that's your business. And you don't kill yourself, so you can go to heaven. That's great.
Yeah. Well, whatever. But I could understand them coming from that perspective. But
no, it's a stupid perspective because God was made flesh. Supposedly, if you believe the current line of Christianity as it's presented today, God became flesh in the form of Jesus with the purpose, the plan that the humans would kill him. He controls the humans. Jesus committed suicide.
Hey, there's more here. Also, we'll take your calls about anything. And hour number 3 is coming up. 800-259-9231. We'll continue the suicide discussion in hour 3. Free Talk Live.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.